On September 12th, 2024, what started as a regular Thursday morning at Stillwater High in Oklahoma, it would quickly spiral into something that would not only shake the entire community, but the entire nation. Because just before lunch, two students quietly walked into the main office, each of them holding written statements for the school resource officer. And what they handed over would expose secrets that no one saw coming, and secrets that would forever change how everyone at that school looked at one of their own peers. And these weren't complaints about bullying or high school drama. They were very detailed, very gut-wrenching accounts of sexual attacks. Moments where these girls said no, but they weren't heard. They wrote about feeling trapped, powerless, and terrified. Now, according to police reports, the officer took their statements seriously, documenting everything, alerting administrators, and immediately turning all of it over to Stillwater Police Department, which from that moment on, an investigation began, one that would uncover something far more disturbing than anyone expected. And it didn't start on that Thursday. It actually started months earlier. This is one of the most controversial cases out there right now. So many of you have been requesting that I cover this, but I want to warn you and prepare you. It is going to enrage you. I'm Annie Elise. This is 10 to Life. Let's jump right in. Also, really quick, I just wanted to let you guys know, we have decided to do an amazing Black Friday sale where not only are we slashing all the prices of merch, and you can pick that up for yourself, for the holiday gifts, for whatever you want to do, but we also are offering the lowest membership rate ever for Patreon. So if you've been going back and forth on the fence about if you should join Patreon, now would be the time because it is the lowest rate of the year. Not only offering introductory rates that are super, super low, but also a huge discount on the annual membership. And as a reminder, for what you get in Patreon, you not only get access to every single episode ad-free, but you get access to our 24/7 group chat where we are talking about every case all day long. You get access to exclusive giveaways, bonus videos, bonus episodes, behind the scenes content, all sorts of different like perks and promos. Also, there's a tier where you can talk directly with me, asking me any questions you have, asking me for a personalized video, whether it's a shout out, a piece of advice, whatever it may be. So go to patreon.com/AnnieElise to sign up for that. The sale is going to be active from November 24th to December 1st. And we also are going to have all of our merch on sale for that same window. And you can get that at AnnieElise.com. So again, November 24th to December 1st, then everything goes back to regular pricing. So this is the time to act fast. Jesse Mack Butler wasn't some random name in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Everybody knew who he was. He was a 17-year-old student athlete at Stillwater High. He was confident, he was popular, and he was a part of a family that carried real weight in the town. His dad, Mack Butler, was the director of football operations at Oklahoma State University, and his mom, Jackie Butler, was active in local schools and community programs, which in a college town like Stillwater, that really mattered. The Butler name was respected, even admired, and not for nothing, very well connected. But as the investigators started reviewing those reports from these two female students, one name kept coming up again and again. Jesse Butler. Now, as detectives dug deeper, the picture that started to form, it was horrifying. These weren't some isolated incidents or misunderstandings. They were patterns, deliberate, escalating acts of violence. Each report connected back to multiple assaults that had taken place earlier in the year. And the details, they were so graphic and very deeply disturbing because these girls, they described being restrained, choked until they lost consciousness, and subjected to sexual attacks that left them not only injured, but deeply traumatized. They also told the police that Jesse recorded at least one of these attacks. Now, the investigators believed that this was calculated, that it was about control, power, and even fear, And they said that with each incident, it just showed Jesse growing more and more violent. One of the girls, as a matter of fact, suffered such severe injuries that she needed surgery. Doctors later told the police that if Jesse had restricted her oxygen for just 30 seconds more, she would not have survived. And both of these victims, they were teenagers themselves, 16 and 17 years old. Can you even imagine? And both of them said that they didn't report what happened right away because they were terrified. Terrified of Jesse and terrified of what would happen if they tried to go up against a family like his. But finally, in the fall of 2024, enough was enough, and they were so incredibly brave and courageous to write down these written statements and pass them over to a trusted adult at their school. And by early March of 2025, detectives finally had gathered enough evidence to take action. So an arrest warrant was issued, and officers headed to the Butler family home in Stillwater, their body cameras recording every single second of it.
We're ready to obviously tell our story, too.
Yeah.
Jess, it's Mom. Open the door. It's me.
And if you'll just have him step out.
Okay. Give me your wallet and phone and stuff. So, okay. Your what?
They're in the car.
Well, okay, it's fine. It's not locked or anything, is it? Okay. So, can you tell him what you just told me? Or?
Yeah. So, we're here. We're obviously going to place you under arrest. There's a warrant for your arrest. We're going to take you to the jail. I told your mom that she can contact a bondsman. And you shouldn't be very long, but there just is a process for paperwork and stuff. But right now, you do have to come with us, and I do have to put you in handcuffs. So turn around for me.
You have to put me in handcuffs?
I know.
Why would I have to be found transport somebody in custody?
You know where the limit is.
Okay.
You have a key?
Yeah.
I'll get you out. For me?
All right.
Stay silent. Rick knows about this. Candy's on this. Dad's on his way. We're coming to get you, okay? Stay strong, okay? Say your prayers.
Okay, so we will. He's going to go right to the city of Stillwater Jail, and if you'll just contact her, then she does this all the time. She knows what to do.
Yep.
Make sure okay. She knows Stillwater Police Department, not a county.
Stillwater Police Department.
Yeah,
on Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let her know that we're the ones that picked him up.
And when you say we are
Stillwater PD.
Stillwater PD.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way they don't think you went straight over and you go with the county.
Onto experience for the child.
Spread your feet for me. Nothing on your side.
Now, I think we can all agree that that body cam footage says a lot without anyone needing to even narrate it. But what stood out to people immediately was how Jesse's mom reacted, because instead of shock or questions or disgust, she just jumped straight into defense mode, saying they already had somebody helping, that his dad was on the way. Then she even told Jesse, "I'll get you out." So it felt way less like a son being arrested for violent sexual crimes and more like another problem that his mom was just on standby ready to fix. Now, when the officers said that they needed to handcuff him, she sounded shocked by that, almost offended. Offended that they would treat her son like a suspect, which that is the only point, in my opinion, where she even seemed remotely disturbed in all of this. But Jesse, he didn't fight it. He didn't argue. He just turned around, eyes watering a little bit, and quietly put his hands behind his back. No resistance, no emotion. Which you can imagine that moment spread fast, and it had everyone talking. I mean, the tone, the calmness, the polite conversation between police and the Butler family, it did not match the severity of what Jesse was being accused of. Then, once he was booked, prosecutors announced 11 felony charges. Attempted first-degree RAPE, RAPE by instrumentation, forcible oral sodomy, sexual battery, multiple counts of strangulation, and also domestic assault, plus violation of a protective order. Now, because of how serious these crimes were, he was charged as an adult, even though he was only 17 years old when the assaults happened. But on paper, if convicted of all counts, Jesse was staring down 78 years in prison. The thing was, this case dragged on for months. Jesse pleaded not guilty, he posted bond, and he was released. However, under strict conditions. No contact with the victims, no stepping foot on school grounds, no attending events, nothing. The district confirmed, too, that he was pulled from in-person classes and he was banned from campus entirely. But still, even with all of those restrictions, the people in Stillwater couldn't help but notice the obvious. If Jesse's last name wasn't Butler, would he really have ever even been released? Maybe, maybe not. Because for most people, I will say this, 11 violent felony charges don't end with you sleeping in your own bed at the end of the night. They end with you in a jail cell. But Jesse, he was living a pretty cushy situation. Then, in August of 2025, everything changed. Instead of going to trial, Jesse entered a no-contest plea to all 11 charges, which that meant he wasn't admitting guilt, but he also wasn't fighting the evidence against him. And that one move alone, it completely changed the outcome of this case. Because under Oklahoma's Youthful Offender Act, the court now reclassified Jesse's status. The law allows defendants between 15 and 17 years old who are charged with major crimes to be prosecuted as adults, but with a supposed focus on rehabilitation instead of punishment. So, on August 25th, the judge announced a sentence that, at first, sounded harsh, 78 years, but almost immediately after it, it was revealed that the sentence was fully suspended because of the youthful offender designation. Meaning, instead of prison, Jesse was ordered to complete 150 hours of community service. He also had to attend counseling and treatment, follow a strict curfew, stay off social media, and check in regularly with the Office of Juvenile Affairs. But here's the part that left people stunned by that, and I'm sure you as well. He only has to do all of that until his 19th birthday.
Jesse Butler was arrested back in March on 10 rape-related charges involving two underage girls. Investigators say the crimes happened over multiple months in 2024 when Butler was around 17 years old. Victim statements from both girls say Butler forced them to perform sexual acts, and both say Butler strangled them to the point of unconsciousness. The case now sparking outrage online after prosecutors reclassified him as a youthful offender despite initially charging him as an adult. I talked with Kimberly Jantz with the Tulsa County DA's Juvenile Division about how that process works and what factors can lead to such a decision.
This is an area of law that is incredibly complicated. The factors, the biggest factors are what was the crime and what is the age of the defendant.
Jantz didn't speak specifically about Butler's case since it didn't happen in Tulsa County, but says the most significant change that can come deals with sentencing. Butler originally sentenced to 78 years in prison. That changes as a youthful offender, or YO.
Wanting to do the YO aspect gives you the possibility of rehabilitating yourself before having to serve a long sentence in the Department of Corrections.
And he was already 18 years old when that sentence was handed down, meaning if he checks all of the boxes, that's less than a year of supervision. No prison time whatsoever, too. And once it's over, get this, his entire record will be wiped clean. Now, some attorneys who have weighed in on this case say that Jesse's plea deal may have been a strategic move by prosecutors, a way to ensure that there was some level of accountability without forcing the victims to relive everything out in open court. But others argue that the court might have genuinely believed that Jesse could be rehabilitated because of his age, because of his family's influence, and the fact that he didn't have a prior record. But for a lot of people in Stillwater, this didn't look like rehabilitation. It looked like protection, the kind of second chance that they're convinced nobody else would have gotten in this situation. And once that speculation started, it led to something even bigger. Because what's behind this story? It goes way deeper than anyone expected, and it's infuriating, even more so than what we've already touched on. See, the judge who approved that suspended sentence was Judge Susan Worthington, a name that people in Payne County know very well. She's part of a family that is basically judicial royalty over there. Her father, Donald Worthington, served as district judge for over 20 years. He ultimately retired in 2010. And when Susan was sworn in as a special district judge back in 2015, it was her dad who gave her the oath. Which in a small town like Stillwater, that didn't go unnoticed. The Worthington name, it carried a lot of weight, just like the Butler name. And soon, people started realizing that this was not the first time that she had been criticized for how she handled a violent offender. See, back in 2018, a man named Seth Swaim was caught sexually communicating with a minor, also stalking her, even trying to crawl through her bedroom window. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison, but he only served 8 months. And then, a few years later in 2024, he reoffended. And guess who the judge was that time around? Susan Worthington. Again. Now, according to court documents, she cut his bond in half. She cut it from $100,000 down to $50,000, even though Seth was already on the registry and still on probation from his previous conviction. And after that bond reduction, Seth bailed out. And what happened next is infuriating because he allegedly went on to violate a protective order 11 separate times. And each time, Judge Worthington would set his bail somewhere between $500 and $1,000. Which with that, each time, Seth walked free. So now when Jesse Butler's sentence came out, people started connecting the dots. Another violent offender, another pattern of leniency, and another reason to ask the question that everyone was thinking. What is really going on here? Then came the detail that really blew the lid off. Judge Worthington is an OSU alumna. And remember, Jesse's father works in OSU's athletics department as the director of football operations. So of course, I mean, it didn't take long for the locals to start whispering that Susan's OSU ties went way deeper than just being a graduate, that she had close relationships with people in the athletic departments and the donors and everybody connected to the program, the same exact circle that Jesse's dad was also a part of. Which now, to be clear, there's no public record proving that any of those relationships played a role in Jesse's case. But in a town like Stillwater, perception matters. And when people saw another violent case ending with what clearly looked like favoritism, that was it. And when the sentence became public, the community erupted. Crowds filled the Payne County courthouse lawn, all holding signs that read, "Justice for survivors, hold Jesse responsible, no means no." Parents also stood beside students and survivors chanting, "No means no, no justice, no peace." One woman also told reporters, quote, "Almost losing your life and your attacker walks free? That's ridiculous." And for a lot of people, that quote said it all, because remember, 30 seconds more and she would have died.
No justice, no peace.
We're done. We're done not saying anything. We're done allowing rapists to walk free. We're done seeing the people in charge allowing this to happen.
Countless voices echoed through Stillwater Wednesday, their message loud and clear. About 100 protesters, mostly women, demanding justice in a case that's rocked their community.
No justice, no peace.
Nancy Janae Irving held her sign high. It reads, "No contest, no consequence." For her, this fight is personal.
As a, you know, victim myself, I believe that women have the right to, you know, to stand up for themselves and justice to be served, honestly. And she's not, none of these girls are getting the justice that they deserve.
Inside the courtroom, one of the victims stood and gave her victim impact statement. And she turned to Jesse, very brave, very strong. And she said, "You didn't just put your hands on my neck. You took my voice, my happiness, and my ability to feel safe in my own body." Her words became truly the emotional centerpiece of this entire story, just repeated across headlines, shared online, and echoing in every single conversation about this case. Not long after, an Oklahoma state representative called Jesse's sentence a, quote, mockery of justice, and also announced plans to push for a grand jury to review it and new legislation that would prevent violent sex crimes from ever qualifying for the youthful offender treatment again. But meanwhile, frustration, it was still boiling over in Stillwater. The Stillwater School District began receiving what police called very concerning calls. Angry voicemails, threatening messages, and demands for accountability. The district released another statement confirming that Jesse did remain banned from all school property and events and that safety measures were in place, but get real. How is that okay? You have this track record of this happening, a pattern of escalation, repeated offenses, over and over, two different victims, one who almost died, and because of a loophole in the system, he's going to be supervised for less than a year, do some community service, and that's it? That's all? Because today, Jesse Butler is still under youthful offender supervision. No prison, no bars, just daily check-ins and treatment and monitoring until he turns 19 years old. However, if he breaks even one rule, the judge can reinstate his full 78-year sentence. But if he doesn't break any rules, he walks free. And tell me how that at all equates and is just, because if your sentence is 78 years in prison because of how barbaric your crimes were and the evidence against you, and you even said you plead no contest because you know the evidence against you is damning, and so damning that it warrants a 78-year sentence, how on earth is there any world in which that can totally be flipped into a full 180 to probation? To community service. How do you go from 78 years all the way down to walking free? And that's not only what has me pissed off, but what has people in Stillwater very divided. Many people believe that Jesse's OSU connections made this outcome possible. Something impossible to prove on paper, yes, but very difficult to ignore. Others point to the Youthful Offender Act itself, arguing that this law is designed to rehabilitate kids who make mistakes and it was never meant to shield someone accused of these horrific acts and assaults. Because if Jesse finishes the program successfully, remember, his record gets wiped clean. He gets to rebuild. He gets to start over. But the two girls who walked into that main office back in September 2024, the ones who spoke up when no one else did, they don't get that same reset. They live with what happened to them every single day and in the exact same town, surrounded by the same reminders, the same powerful families, the same influential people. Now, across the country, you can imagine this case has taken on a life of its own. Social media has turned into a polarizing flashpoint. People have studied the body cam footage. They have shared court documents. They have debated every single headline. And the sentiment is almost universal, that this does not look like justice. It looks like a system that is bending backwards for someone with the right last name, the right connections. And on Reddit, Jesse is being compared to Brock Turner, which if you're not familiar with Brock Turner, he is equally a scumbag. Look him up. But basically, users are calling him this generation's Brock Turner. They say that his name should follow him everywhere, that people deserve to know who he is. And I agree. In Oklahoma-based threads, locals are calling out the system itself, describing the victims as failed twice, once by Jesse and again by the courts. Petitions are also circulating, demanding accountability not just for Jesse, but for the adults who really enabled and protected him, even calling for OSU to cut ties with his family altogether. On Facebook and on X and other platforms, the tone is just as charged. Some people focus on the privilege of it all, how defendants like Jesse seem to get every single break possible, while others argue that the real issue is the law itself, that the Youthful Offender Act has kind of become a loophole, giving violent offenders a pass under the label or the guise of rehabilitation. And that's why this case hits so hard and is so controversial, because this isn't about one teenager who made a mistake. It's about a justice system that failed, not once, but twice. And it's also about the fear that this outcome might now serve as a blueprint for others. Maybe this case sparks reform, but maybe it doesn't. And one thing is still for certain, Stillwater, Oklahoma will never forget the name Jesse Butler. And they will never forget the courage of the two girls who finally decided enough was enough and spoke up anyway. But it is absolutely an infuriating case. Again, how do you go from walking free and 78 years? Where is the bridge between that gap? I don't see it. And it does feel like Brock Turner. It also feels like that piece of shit from, is it Utah or Idaho that I recently talked about that got off, and it was both actually, both areas. Another male student athlete abusing his control and power and getting away with it, you know, working the system to his benefit. And like, what about the victims? And again, I'm not trying to harp on this, but I'm trying to make it so that you understand how impactful and important this is. Two young victims, 16 and 17 years old, consistently, repeatedly hurt by this monster, one who almost lost her life over it. So drastically, so barbarically, that the sentence that was warranted was 78 years in prison for what these girls went through. But now, because of this act, because of the loophole, it's a slap on the wrist. It's go pick up trash on the side of the highway for 150 hours. Do your daily check-ins until your 19th birthday, which is, you know, in just a few months here. Be on the straight and narrow for 9 months. And not only will you never have to serve a day in prison in your life, but your record will also be wiped clean and you get a full do-over. I'm telling you, if you're one of those girls, a 16 or 17-year-old girl, witnessing that and seeing that, I don't even know the words to describe it. It is not justice. It is not accountability. And you know what? It is why so many women do not come forward when they are attacked. Because it's situations like this. It is cases like these where, what's the fucking point? And I'm sorry to even say that because I would never advocate not to come forward. I think it's absolutely important that you do. But I understand why girls and women who see this play out think to themselves, why am I even going to put myself through the fight? Nothing's going to happen. This guy's going to walk free. And what is this teaching our young girls and our young children about responsibility, accountability, treatment of others? What's it teaching them about doing the right thing and standing up for yourself? That because of a stupid law and loophole, what was considered so severe that it was going to be 78 years in prison is now nothing? And these girls don't get a reset. They don't get a start over. They have to live with this. They have to live with the PTSD, the trauma, rebuilding their lives, their body, the block of intimacy in their future, the damage that it's going to carry into future relationships. And this guy gets nothing. Slap on the wrist. It is so infuriating. And that is why this case is so controversial out there and why it has so many people, myself included, so pissed off. Because I hope it marks some sort of new law and that it is, you know, a case where it evokes change. But we said that about Brock Turner. We said that about the stupid Utah guy too, Idaho guy. Like, when is enough enough? Truly, when is enough enough? And when is real accountability and real responsibility going to have to happen? It's sick. It is sick. People are serving more time for smoking weed. Are you kidding me right now? Like, are you freaking kidding me? He almost took this girl's life. 30 seconds longer, she would have been dead. And he video recorded it, taunted them, escalated. This was in the evidence. Yet people who get caught with a little weed in their pocket on the street are serving more time. People who litter or jaywalk are serving more time. Are you kidding me? Like, what is going on with our justice system? And I'm going off the rails a little bit here, but I am just so pissed off and I just cannot even like see straight from this case. It infuriates me. So my point in coming on here today and talking about this case is not only because a lot of you have requested that I cover it, but this case needs attention. It needs awareness. So I beg you, share this link on your social medias, share it in your group text thread, share it wherever you can so that people are aware of what is happening and what is truly going on in the justice system. And let me know below in the comments, what do you think? Do you think that this was just and that the punishment fits the crime? Do you think that it's because there was power and influence in the family name? And what the hell is going on with Judge Worthington? I mean, get a grip. be a girl's girl for a hot second and like do the right thing. This is so sick and disheartening and disturbing for so many different reasons. I could go on and on, so I'm gonna reel myself in for a moment here, but thank you for listening. If you're equally as upset as I am, I'm right there with you and I understand, but thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing about this monster, Jesse Butler. And look, even if he's never gonna serve a day, the least I can do is put his face out there, make his face known, and make anybody who possibly has access to a computer or phone or tablet know who this guy is. I am going to make it my personal mission, Jesse Butler, that your face is one that nobody forgets. Mark my words, I will re-release this episode multiple times a year if I have to. I will do updates. I will post your photo anywhere. I don't care. Your name needs to be a household name because you are a monster. All right, guys, thanks so much. I'm getting a little heated. I'm going to go take a beat, but thank you for tuning in. And until the next one, stay safe.